point in which I feel like I am most myself is whenever I'm not myself. Isn't that strange? Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Stuff We Don't Learn in School. My name is Jenny.
I'm Victoria.
And today, it's just us two, and we are going to be talking about identity. I know, a super niche and not at all broad topic whatsoever.
Great conversation for Friday night. For today's episode, what we're going to do is one of my favorite companies, we're not really strangers, has card sets where the goal is to connect with yourself, connect with others through playing their card game, which just has questions and they split it into different levels. I think they're the coolest. I think it's not only great branding, their aesthetic is beautiful, but also they're nice questions and they're just a nice way to get to know people and get to know yourself. So I picked out a couple questions via Quizlet. Quizlet is useful for many things. I will tell you that. I'm going to be asking them and Jenny and I will answer them.
Yeah. So basically, this is just a really long get to know you session with Jenny and Victoria. But I hope that in us asking these questions and us contemplating that you will also contemplate yourself. And I don't know. I think the better that we understand ourselves, the better we can go out and do the things that we do and make the world a better place. Aw, I know, cheesy, but it's true. And I really stand by that. So, ask away.
Exactly. Let's start off with a softball. What's your least favorite personality trait in a person?
Ignorance. And I know. Okay. I am speaking a speech on ignorance this year, but it's so true.
What do you mean ignorance? Like, in what type of way? Like, they don't want to learn, or they just don't know, or how so?
Oh, if people just don't know, then I don't hold that against them. If they don't have the resources around them, and if they aren't, like, surrounded in an environment that offers them the opportunity to learn, then I'm fine with that. And I would like to offer them the ability to do so. But my one friend was telling me how in her English class, the teacher was talking about the recent events with Stop Asian Hate and what happened in Atlanta, Georgia with the salons and the Asian American woman that were killed. And she asked a question to one boy and he was just like, I don't know what that is. And everybody was just like, what do you mean you don't know what that is? It's all over Instagram. And he replied with, yeah, I don't know. If I see that kind of stuff on my Instagram stories or on social media, I just kind of click through. I want to stay happy. Like, I don't want to succumb to feeling bad. And I hate that. I hate that with all of my being in any person. I just have immediate disrespect if I know that somebody does that. And I understand, like, from a time-to-time basis, if you're, like, down in the dumps or you're just having one of those days where you can't care about the world, you can't care about everything around you. I know the world is so overwhelming and social media is so overwhelming. But whenever it's you're never making an effort to learn about what's going on and to try to empathize with people.
Oh, that for sure is totally bothersome. People don't even bother making the effort to try to learn and want to stay within their
little
confines of comfort. That's really annoying. I think anybody who isn't willing to grow and adapt, or at least be open and want to broaden their view on the world, or recognize that there's more than their own sort of bubble, is hard to, I think, be friends with.
Yeah.
Especially if you view the world, I think, in a global sort of way. Yeah, ignorance is, it's a complex thing. Like, I wonder how some people define it, because...
No, but I think everybody's ignorant to some extent, right? Like, it's not like you cannot be ignorant. It's just to what level. And if you choose to be 100% ignorant on every single issue that doesn't personally impact you, I can't imagine being okay with that.
Yeah. And also, I think right now with like social media and stuff, there's a new standard of how conscious you need to be with issues. Mm. I think before maybe you could get away with it, but now it's really different.
Yeah.
And for me, it's actually funny. My trait is much more like individual, where it seems petty and it's kind of small, but my like least favorite trait in someone is selfishness. I think that manifests in a lot of different ways, and it can look like a lot of different things. But for example, like with activism, and we talked a little bit about this, so check out our artistic activism episode.
That was a great, is a great conversation. A
plug. I mean, we talked about power grabbing and how a lot of the times in activism, people step up to the plate for themselves and for their own personal wants and needs, which is fine, but that's something that just like really bugs me. And it, also, I think on a more micro level with friends and family, if you can't sacrifice a part of your life or a part of your wellness or happiness or whatever, not even something extreme, I don't know, like, why would I be friends with you, or why would I try to engage with you? Because like, how can I trust you? Like,
because
when comes to shove, then it's just kind of like, eh, you know. So that was a softball question where I think, potential suitors out there, if you want to get it. But yeah, I think just, you know, if you're selfish, it's hard to trust.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that.
Yeah,
I think ignorance and selfishness definitely go hand in hand with each other.
Yeah, I think being ignorant is a form of selfishness, where you prioritize your own comfort over other people's plight and caring about it.
Yeah,
and that's actually an interesting way to look at it. Like, I don't know, I find that annoying, but I find the part of like where people will do like stuff that probably isn't that great to just like do it for themselves, like the most annoying out of the giant realm of what selfishness looks like. Like, for example, like, this is so vague, but I'm not bothered if I was dying and my brother hesitated giving his liver. I wouldn't be bothered by that. And you would be like, why?
Well,
You're about to die.
I also wouldn't be bothered by that, because that is like an extreme form of sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
But if it comes to like minute acts of service.
Yeah, exactly. I think TLDR, ignorance and selfishness sucks. So that is the consensus.
I like that conclusion.
Moving on a little bit to ourselves. This is situational, but I think it reflects a lot on identity, because our identity is comprised of our experiences. Mm. So the question is, what is the last time you felt lucky to be you?
I don't think that there is any one particular moment where I'm like, wow, I'm so lucky to be me. I don't know. I feel like I remind myself of that daily in just everyday acts and conversations that I have with people. I don't know. I've had a lot of conversations with my friends about going to college, because that's the next step with us seniors. And a lot of them are worried about financing their college education, whereas I'm much less worried. And so, yes, I think of how lucky I am then. And then, you know, downstairs right before this recording, my dad was chopping up and washing strawberries for me to eat. And I can't help but think, wow, I'm so lucky to be a part of a loving family. And like, even now, as I'm contemplating how I'm lucky to be me, like, I'm sitting in a room that my family does not use at all. And it's an amazing room, but we have the luxury to not be able to use it. And so I'm lucky in that regard too.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah. I think my response comes in conversations, not maybe specifically material privilege. It often is just like, if I'm talking to someone and I think they get me and they get the situation and they care and they're willing to give advice and give good advice and think about it. Like the other day, my mom sat me down and we were talking like about her work. It was a situation that was pretty similar to what was happening to me. And it was just about working with people, but also dealing with conflict resolution. When do you speak up? When do you not speak up? And it's so simple. But as she was telling me that story of what happened at work, I was like, wow, I'm lucky to be me, because I think she gets me. Well, she's my mom, but like, I think she gets me. I think she cares. I feel well supported. So honestly, I think the moments where I feel most lucky are when I feel like I have people around me And I feel like they like me for me. And it's so cheesy and like, but I think that's so often just hard to find.
No, you're so right.
And maintain if you find it.
Truly, 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 truly. I feel like there are so many people, I don't know, that I go to school with that I, you know, yeah, I'm great friends with. I'm great acquaintances with. But I feel like talk to me because they have a certain image of me in their head that they want to be associated with. It's so rare to find people who are willing to like listen to you and empathize with you or support you in all of your endeavors, no matter what, because they love you.
Exactly. This question is also situational, where it's, what's the most unexplainable thing that has ever happened to you?
Well, I think there are so many different directions that you could take this question. Unexplainable as in like supernatural or unexplainable as in luck and achievements that you feel like you didn't deserve. Wait, this is very difficult. I feel like, here's the thing. I like to psychoanalyze everything. I like to know like what causes my emotions, what causes other people's emotions. I like to like analyze that, talk about it. So I feel like I can explain a lot of things that happen in my life. For me, the most unexplainable things are the things that are out of my control. So things I'm lucky for, right? This brings it back to the previous question. The most unexplainable thing that happened to me is my birth, because I wasn't supposed to be born. Well, not that I wasn't supposed to be born, but just, you know, the whole two-child thing.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Well, yeah, because, I don't know, they already had a kid who was 13 years old. So, like, if they didn't come to Michigan, like, I get, it's just, like, luck. You know, I'm lucky to be alive, and that's pretty unexplainable, my life.
Yeah, what is the statistic for being born that's, like, a one in
yada, blah, yada, blah, blah, yada. Blah, really long number. Yeah,
harder than winning the lottery to just get born.
Yeah.
Which is so wild. I can't even conceptualize that.
Like being us, like what if I was a different person, but like under the name Jenny Zhu? It's weird.
That's a cool way to think about it. But my parents, I think, immigrated a large part because they wanted to have a second child. But the unexplainable part is the reason why they did was because I think my mom said God told her in a dream to have a second child. And then she wanted one. Yeah, I know. Craziest thing. I think you mentioned supernatural at the very beginning, which is something I didn't think about. But in my family, like extended family, a lot of unexplainable things have happened, which has caused my family members, like my aunt and uncle, to be religious.
Oh.
And I think that happens with a lot of people.
It does happen with a lot of people. And then that religion becomes a large part of their identity. I mean, talk about like, I recently went to a funeral and the main things that they hit on was the fact that he was extremely religious and that he prayed every single day of his life until he was like 90 something. And the second thing that they like highlighted was the fact that he played football for Notre Dame. But religion is a huge part of somebody's identity. So the unexplainable happening. You see all of these videos of people literally fainting in church because they become so overwhelmed by like the spirit of the Holy Ghost, if I'm remembering correctly. I think that's just very interesting.
Yeah, my mom is trying to convince me to be more religious or regularly lend myself into faith.
Go to church at least once.
And one story she tells me is that my uncle was super addicted to smoking cigarettes, and scientifically there's a lot of nicotine, so your body is like physically dependent, and he'd smoke not a pack a day but close to that number.
Oh my god.
And when he was dating my aunt, even the power of love couldn't stop that addiction. But then one day he had a dream from God saying to quit. And he did not suffer from withdrawal. Like, he just found them unappealing anymore. Like, he just all of a sudden found them, like, extremely, like, gross and whatever. And wasn't addicted and wasn't pulled. Which is the wildest thing, because that defies science.
Yes.
And our health teachers are quaking right now. It literally like defies science. And for me, unexplainable things, maybe I attribute them to God, I don't know. But
what comes to mind
are the most like impactful things that happened in my life. And I was telling Jenny this a little bit earlier. My memory is super shot, so I don't actually remember a lot of situations, but people carry like experiences. So when I look at Jenny, I remember like going to Emory with her. So I remember the memories associated with Jenny. And so thinking about an unexplainable moment is just the people I've met in my life that I like would not have met if things had been different. Like a good example is I went to this tournament in Boston and I lost my phone at the airport. Which was maybe unexplainable.
No, that's pretty explainable. I would say that's very explainable. Anyways, moving on. Yes.
I lost my phone and I still traveled to Boston and competed. And then I got lost and I can't read a map. So I also got lost. And I went into this building and I met one of my friends there. Like we weren't initially friends, but now we are.
Because of this moment.
Journey is so crazy because it's like, how do you become close with someone? When do you even meet someone and decide you're friends? I think becoming friends with someone is super unexplainable.
Oh, just like the situations that you're put in and the outcomes that come out of it is extremely unexplainable. I think about this all the time. Like if I didn't move whenever I was 8 years old and I didn't go to like the middle school that I went to. Okay. So the middle school that I went to is known for being extremely competitive compared to the other two middle schools in our school district. There's a more competitive atmosphere. So I question the type of person that I would have been if I hadn't gone to the middle school that I went to, or if I hadn't moved and met my like childhood best friend, who's essentially my sister, who like changed the person that I was and that I became. All of these things, extremely, extremely unexplainable. Oh, you know what is extremely unexplainable in my life? The fact that, okay, so my house that I'm in currently was on sale the same time that the house right next to me was on sale.
No way.
And so, yes, so my childhood best friend and I moved in within the same, like, I think week of each other.
Dude, that's wild.
I know. And we're both Asian girls of the same age. That's pretty unexplainable.
I think on that note, finding love is also
No,
hey, that's got to be that person. But
no, you're so right.
How?
literally, like, I don't know. I don't know how my brother did it. I think we all, every single one of my friends that I talk to them about, they wish... find the relationship.
And they have. These are kind of in a similar vein, all these questions. When's the last time you felt most yourself?
Oh my God. Okay, so I'll bring you through my thought process so I don't sit here in silence. So I'm thinking of like what does it mean to be myself? And I'm defining that in my mind right now as somebody who doesn't have a mask on. Or doesn't, like, put up a facade. But the thing is, like, your personality and who you are changes person to person. So who is, like, yourself truly?
Yeah, I would define being myself as when I'm the most comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think we do vary, but I think there's definitely certain states that we're in where we feel much more free and much less, conscious of like how we act and stuff. So I'm trying to think back on when that was.
Well, I don't think you being yourself has to be in a social situation though. I would say I'm most myself. I think I'm most myself whenever I'm like watercoloring or playing the piano or playing like a viola piece that I really, really enjoy. Like that's whenever I'm most myself.
And why is that? Why is it different than like a social situation?
I'm just at peace because I'm not doing anything for anybody else. I'm not, although I really enjoy having conversations, right? I really enjoy talking to other people. It's so cheesy. It's so cheesy for me to say this, but I really feel like I'm just like in another world whenever I just do things that stimulate my brain, but not in a way where I'm conversing with other people, no matter how comfortable I may be in that conversation, right? So whenever I'm talking with you, obviously I'm extremely comfortable whenever I talk with you. I would say there's still like a facade, not a facade, but like a type of person that I am whenever I'm around them. And I think I'm just like not me, which is so weird. Like the point in which I feel like I am most myself is whenever I'm not myself. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, I think with me, the bigger the group gets, the less I am myself. I think one-on-one with most people, if we're generally friends, it's okay. Mm. And I feel most myself, especially if we're talking a little bit more about questions like this or thoughts I have in my head.
Just like quotes and things like that, not about any projects that you may be doing. Yeah. Or schoolwork or things like that.
I think maybe being most myself is being able to share parts of myself I don't like with certain people, which I think does happen, but very rarely, because it's hard to find people you think you could tell things to. But I'm with you on the fact that I didn't think of this, but when I'm myself, it's actually probably like 2 a.m. and I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yes.
It's crazy, but it's like this weird transcendental peace and silence, and you're just there. Yeah. You're experiencing time. You're obviously doing something, but yeah.
But like you're not expected to be anything or to do anything or to say anything. You're just you.
Yeah. And people who know me know I actually like waking up and I like sleeping early and I like that schedule. Mm. But I've been staying up a lot recently, and not a TikTok therapist telling me why. But
dude,
people who stay up late, sometimes the reason is because you feel like you have too little control of your life. So staying up is one way you can gain control of your life, because you're controlling whether you stay or sleep, which I thought was a good way to analyze that. But there's just something different, I think, being at night, being really conscious that everyone else is asleep and you're just existing. You can think about whatever you want. And there's something to be said about just like staying in your thoughts, but not in a toxic way where you're thinking about other people, but you're just literally just thinking. Maybe that's like meditation. Like, who knows? Maybe
I feel like meditation, you're thinking about everything except for yourself in meditation. Because I tried to meditate, right? I tried to meditate and I tried to do the thing where you inhale all the good and exhale all of the bad within you. Because that's what a lot of people tell you to do. But I found that every single time I did that, every single time I would get a headache after.
And then what? What?
No, but then get this. And then I saw again on TikTok that like that true Buddhist or meditative people, I don't know, like monks. Although, again, I have never fact-checked this, so this might be completely wrong. Inhale all the bad and exhale all of the good, because that means they're truly in tune with like who they are and like their ability to be that filter for the world.
That's crazy. What?
And as soon as I had that thought process, like, I would calm down if I meditated. I wouldn't get headaches after.
No way. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
Similar to you with watercoloring, the world will soon know. Jenny knows right now, but the entire world will soon know. I love making cartoons. Like, I think they're the funniest things to make, because you're basically summarizing how terrible life can be in a picture that seems.
Oh my god, can you talk about your bear cartoon?
Oh my god, yeah, I once drew a cartoon. Okay, it's not the same visual describing it, but someone's in a bear costume and they're staring like stone face, and the caption is, yeah, I've changed. And then the meaning behind that was, I don't like it when people say they've changed, but obviously they haven't. So it's a very light way of putting that, but creative solo things are really nice, I think, to get in tune with yourself and be in touch. This is the second to last question.
Okay.
What is one truth that you've recently come to terms with?
I like that question. Oh, no, I know. Again, I'm a senior who's gone through the college application process. And a truth that I have recently come to terms with, although I knew it going into the college application process, I think it's just a truth that you're going to have to understand after having gone through the college application process, is that everybody's life is so different and nobody cares what you're doing with your life. Like, truly, nobody cares. So things like where you're going to college, what you're going to do with your life, are so arbitrary. And honestly, just like living in the moment, enjoying life, having conversations with people, and being able to either find inspiration in conversations or find laughter in conversations are just honestly all you really need. And having those reflective, contemplative moments with yourself on what you want to do in the future are far more important than what anybody else thinks.
Well, that's a good one. I recently came to terms with, and this relates to you, but I don't know if it's my answer, that your life, your reality is just a mesh of your thoughts. So something isn't real unless if you think it's real, which is so obvious. And it's not in like the manifesting sense. But if you find yourself going down a hole with like, what does this person think I'm doing with my life? Or does this person even like me? Are we even that close? Like that sort of thing. Like those problems don't exist unless if you make them exist. Or like not in an ignorant type of way where you're trying to ignore stuff. But like so truly, often, kind of like what you just said, we think other people think so much more than they actually do about us and our lives and how that connects.
Yeah.
Oh, I think one is growing up doesn't mean things are solved. And I don't mean it like you maybe pursue higher education or you do something outside of high school and you get a job and your worries will be fixed. I don't mean it like that. I mean, people maturing doesn't mean they'll change.
No, people growing up doesn't mean that they'll mature.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think I'm maturing as in just gaining more life experience. So just living life. I used to think that the more you gain life experience, the more you'd adapt. And that's true for some people. But I've come to terms with like some people will never change, or they might adapt, but their essence will still be the same. And you will find people who you just don't like get along with, no matter at what like stage of life you guys are, because them gaining life experience or changing doesn't really negate the fact that they are them and you are you, and fundamentally it just probably doesn't work out. So I think that's something interesting I've been thinking a little bit about and seeing where that's going to take me.
Yeah, a good way to think of other people going into like conversations with them or interpreting like what they're saying and how it relates to your life or your judgment of them.
Yeah. I like that. And final thing, we did this for SWDLS music, kind of, but the next final question or action is shuffle play one of your playlists and explain how that song represents you or why you like it. So my like playlist is just all songs I like. A lot of the genres are, they're ranging. Okay, I got Care at All by Bryce Vaughn. So it's called Care at All by Bryce Vine, and you heard the first line, which I've been drinking about you lately, so not sure how much there we need to dig. But with music, and I think this might be a good parallel to life, is whenever I find music, I actually listen to a lot to the beats. Like, I don't actually listen to lyrics that much, and I don't take that much interest in the double meaning behind lyrics. I like a heavy bass. I like good harmonization. I like that sort of vibe, which is also why I like songs like 3AM by Halsey, because it's very, you can hear the sounds that make up the music and not just her voice singing. But that's not like some people who like the storytelling aspect. They like the actual experiences being described in lyrics, or like they like the storytelling side. So take that as you will and interpret that as you wish.
But I like that
is the description of why I like Care at All.
That is quality. Do you know this song?
Yeah. Oh, is it Juice WRLD Robbery?
Yeah. I don't even know the lyrics.
It's just the vibe.
I just love the vibe of it. It's just very, like, even though it's, like, Juice WRLD, right? And I don't really typically listen to people like Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD just, he was able to bring in, like, that rap genre, but in a way that I genuinely did enjoy it a lot. Because he would add in, like, the beginning of the song is piano, right? And it's, like, very vibey, but then he adds in, like, the drums and... It's like, yes, it's a banger that a lot of people like scream to, but it's something that I can also relax to in a hammock under the sun, which sounds weird, but like, I don't know, listen to it. It's just,
It's a nice duality.
Like that.
That's actually crazy that you can vibe to this just like chilling on a hammock on the side of the beach. That is wild.
I don't know. Just listen to the piano.
There's piano in there?
Did you not hear the piano? It's like consistent in the background.
Oh, wait, that's crazy. He layered it.
Mm-hmm. So like,
not me saying I love listening to beats and I couldn't even...
No, because whenever I listen to that, I don't really... Like I said, I don't even know the lyrics. I don't really listen to him at all. Even though that's like the main thing, I focus in on the piano, and I really like the piano and how he like put it with all of the other instruments. Like the voice is just like the top. That's why I like Jacob Collier so much. Yes, his voice is obviously extremely prominent in his music, but so is all of the layering and the harmonization and all of the different instruments that he adds in the background that I also focus on.
Oh, that is interesting.
Before we end with the quote, make sure to follow us on our Instagram, which is at Stuff We Don't Learn in School. Sign up for our newsletter on our website, stuffwedontlearninschool.org. Plug in your email and you'll automatically get those newsletters. And with that, Victoria will end with the quote for this week.
And last thing before I end it, I recommend checking out this week's newsletter resource. We don't do the normal format. Instead, we interviewed strangers across Pittsburgh and asked them a couple questions.
Yes. So
it was really cool to do that. And this quote is by Virginia Woolf. So anybody who's taking, I think, English might have read some of her works.
Probably.
It's, "I am made and remade continually. Different people draw different words from me."
As always, Stuff We Don't Learn in School would not be possible without our team. Thank you to Victoria Wren and Samantha Podner for the newsletter. Again, make sure to check that out for this week especially. Sophie Liu for the resource, Emma Scott for the digital content, and Gloria Wong for the graphic design.